This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run, and I'm Wong Shaoning here with the one and only Khoo Soo Chuang.
Yes, welcome to the Bunny Rubble Show, Trouble.
We're not that much of
not that bad, yeah.
We're not
until
that
we
bad.
Really screw up the 9 o'clock hour.
Okay. It's now 6 o'clock in the morning, Wednesday, the 8th of July, and do you realize half the week has just kind of zoomed past?
Ayo, this week isn't going fast enough for me, la. I wish it was Friday today. I can't do the 4 a.m.s, you know. It's very hard. It's like pulling teeth.
Is it age, Chuang?
I don't know. Because when you get older, you're supposed to sleep less, right?
Yeah.
It's the other way around for me.
Well, you haven't been... I mean, Khoo Soo Chuang is never the normal, is he?
Yeah, well, I don't know. In a weird way, right?
I don't know. As I get older, it's true. I do seem
really?
To sleep...
You sleep less?
I sleep much less.
In the morning when I wake up, right, and my neighbourhood is full of retirees, there's like at least a dozen people all walking around at 4:55 in the morning. It's like, why aren't you guys in bed? But they are. They're all working out and stuff.
Yeah, after
walking
a while,
around and doing their gardening, stretching, you know, as they do.
Good for them, right?
Good for
some
them.
Exercise. But anyway, what do we have this morning, Chuang?
Well, I talk about how Scandinavians do talk a lot about a lot of things, but there's one thing they won't talk about, and I'll talk about that.
Oh, wow. Mm. And I'll be asking, what's so wrong about doing things on your own?
Oh, very ominous.
In this new world. Why
yes.
not?
Why
right?
not? And why not?
Yes.
Yes.
So if you want to weigh in on our conversations, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We would really like to know what you think. BFM 89.9, that was Lighten Up by The Parcels. It's got kind of nice beat, doesn't it, Chuang?
It's got a good riff. I try to find out on Spotify to no avail.
Anyway, good morning. I'm Wong Shaoning with Khoo Soo Chuang, and this is The Morning Run, here with you till 10 a.m.
So for better or for worse.
I somehow feel like I'm married to you in the studio, Chuang. It's
the best kind of marriage, right? Where you only married for like 4 hours and then, okay, so like, bye, see you.
You go back home to your real wife. Anyway, this morning we were talking about this thing, you know. It's related to marriage, but in the sense that people are getting not married.
Really? Ah. Yeah? Okay.
Well, because at the end of the day, right, when you think about demographics, how much that has changed. People are living longer. They're getting married later. They're giving birth much later. So single households around the world have increased by as much as 128% in the last decade.
You know, I read a Jeffrey Sachs study from years ago that said that birth rates... are inversely proportionate to wealth. So the wealthier you get, the fewer children you have.
And then I should be very rich, but unfortunately I'm not. Because I have kids and you have two, right?
You know, so they pointed out the countries like Bangladesh and I think India to some extent. And, you know, because what do you do, right? You're not working. You're not out there, you know, hustling for money. You're not out there driving a Lamborghini. So you go to bed at 6 o'clock when the sun goes down, right? And you got no money to buy it, like say Netflix, right? So what do? You make like you know, mortals do, right?
Well, I mean, this is based on an article from the BBC, and it's actually about Japanese society.
Yeah. So the richer you are, which Japan generally is, so the birth rates there are quite low. I think there's an aging population with not enough refresh of the population.
It's a country where adult diapers sell more than baby diapers.
Wow.
That puts things into perspective, doesn't it?
Wow. Gosh.
Yes, the adult diapers outsell baby
diapers.
That is
so sad.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a known fact, right, that they've even kind of tried to encourage non-Japanese, if they're willing to commit, to take over some of these country homes because some of the villages have become completely empty.
Wow.
The young people have moved away and there's no new births in their own version of a kampong.
Wow. Yeah. So what's the way forward then?
Well, the way forward is, I guess, but Japan being Japan, they're not very pro-immigration. Let's just be honest, right?
Yeah,
their idea of immigration is tourism. They call it temporary immigration.
That's the best kind, right?
Yeah, you come, you spend money.
You spend a won, and then you leave.
And then you chabot, please go home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Japan has its structural issues, but this article is about the fact that in Japan, it used to be a stigma to do anything alone.
Yeah.
Okay. People kind of looked at you differently. You wouldn't have the guts to go and eat in a restaurant, watch a movie, go for karaoke.
Much less if you're a girl, right?
Yeah. And, you know, so it's, but apparently it's going to change. So, and that phenomenon,
it's changing, I would say.
It is already changing. I mean, if you're alone, what are you going to do? You can't just stay at home, yeah, right? It's ridiculous. Yeah. And I'm trying to bring this into the Malaysian context. And for sure, it's also the same here. I mean, maybe our birth rates are much higher. We are more people are getting married here. Our household formation is healthier than Japan.
Yeah.
But definitely, there are much more single people out there, or people who do things alone. And the point is, why should there be any stigma?
I think there isn't. And I think that what you're saying now is something that has already been practiced in Europe for a long time. I used to travel in the 80s and 90s, and I used to see a lot of solo travelers and a lot of solo female travelers, but invariably from Sweden or invariably from Australia or from Germany or whatever, right? The Europeans are very brave.
They do the gap year traveling.
Yeah, and they've been independent for a long time, right? So, I mean, for example, on YouTube, I follow this girl called Nora Lee. Nora Lee's a Dutch girl. She's in her early 30s. She's traveling around the world, but on a motorcycle, right? And she's doing this completely solo. So she's done Asia and
India.
And
she's not doing like the Australia, US, Europe.
No.
Really
she does like, you know, Central Asia, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, you know, all by herself. Now she's in South America, right? But recently, in the last 10 years, I've seen a surge in Asian cases, like even much of medical, right? It's not medical. Asian examples. So I also follow this girl called Wandering Wasp, right? She's from Singapore. She's very short. She's only like about 5'0 or something, right?
That's my height, Chuang.
But I'm not saying you're tall. but she's very young. She's in her late 20s and she's traveling around the world on her vintage Vespa.
How cool is that?
How cool is that, right? She's doing it completely solo. That's cool, right? And she's Singaporean, okay? More to the point. Says it all, right?
So the point, yeah, you're right in the sense that just because you're one person, that shouldn't be a reason why you stop, you know, and it shouldn't be the reason why you kind of think, I can't do it. I need to do it with somebody. Whether it is to go something as simple as going for lunch in a restaurant, to watching that movie, and of course, on a very larger scale, going on that global travel on your
100%,
own, right?
100%. 100%.
And I think this is something that we should encourage. It shouldn't be, because I've honestly eat out alone on quite often. And, you know, you go to a restaurant and then you say, you know, the guy goes like, oh, table for two. And I go, no, one. And then he gives me this look like, you loser.
You pariah.
Yeah, you loser. You're eating here alone. I mean, like, why do people still do that?
Well, the trouble with that is human nature tends to overcompensate. So in the old days, you used to romanticize couplehood and children and the nuclear family, right? And then now today, you romanticize the solo life. And I fear that we over-romanticize the notion to the detriment of us. Because at the end of the day, we are social creatures. We need the companionship. We need the people around us. And I've met a lot of people who are single, you know, well into their old age. And it's not nice. Do you know what I mean?
But the companionship has changed, though.
Yeah,
you know, maybe traditional forms of, like, what we view as marriage doesn't exist. It's friendship, for example.
It's companionship. Yeah. You want to travel with somebody, right?
Well,
just imagine if you're in a coffee shop in, let's say, Copenhagen, and then you need to go to the loo for whatever reason, right? You want to leave your laptop there all by itself?
Okay, these are the practical reasons why you want to. Yeah, different strokes for different folks. But, you know, if you want to weigh in on our conversations, you can. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, some messages. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Sweet Disposition by The Temper Trap. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Chuang. We just got a nice little tweet, actually.
Oh, yeah? What did you say?
It's from Sui, and he says that, I think this is about the me time, doing things on your own, solo style.
He says
it's his favorite time, either with a Kindle, podcast, or just having a quiet time and don't have to listen to useless banter and to tolerate tardiness.
I wonder whether he's referring to BFM Radio.
No, he's tuning in. He obviously knows.
Mm.
But anyway, we have another interesting story this morning. It's not a new story. It's actually been on the BBC website since 2019. And it's called Jantelagen. I don't know whether I pronounced it because obviously I don't speak Swedish. Why Swedes Won't Talk About Wealth. And,
yeah.
You know, it's an interesting article because it says that in Sweden, people kind of like not very comfortable about talking about how rich they are, how much money they make, or having any real displays of wealth. So everything is very low-key, subdued, you know. So you can mention things like, oh, I'm going on holiday. That's okay. I'm installing underfloor heating, things like that, you know. Very like, yeah, it's like not cheap to install these things. That's acceptable. But you can't tell people like, oh, you know, last weekend, I bought a Porsche. No, that's not acceptable.
Yeah, I think that's a very cultural thing. Asians, they love to flaunt their wealth, right? The newer the money, the more ostentatious they are. I used to study in Australia, and Australia, they're also like the Swedes.
They're very like low-key, right?
Very low-key, even though they're like good in sport or really like swotty or whatever, good in studies or family wealthy, they never show. They never show because it's unacceptable, right? They don't like to show off. They don't like to brag. In Malaysia, the minute you even win like a bronze medal in like some, you know, crappy country game, you get a Datuk-ship and then you get a Mercedes and then you show everybody how, you know, how titular you are. It's very cultural. I don't know. I can't explain it, right? But it's just the way it is.
Do you think you're generalizing, Chuang?
I think so, yeah. But I don't care.
And is it a generational thing also within Asia?
I don't think so. I see it, and it's, you know, I can see it spanning three generations at least. In Asia, it's very clear, right? Once a guy makes his money, he has several wives or several girlfriends. He gets into a big bungalow. He gets a title. He gets some abbreviations at the front of his name, and then he says, "Oh, you know, I'm no longer so and so. Please call me Dato or Dato Sri or Tan Sri." It's true. True story, right? True story. Journalist friend of mine who used to be just an encik or bro. Now he's like Dato Sri. So I say, hey, Dato, how are you? Hey, Dato Sri, bro, Dato Sri.
Okay, I had a friend also, which I kind of like shake my head.
Yeah.
He also got his Datoship. I mean, it's a title. It's something to be honored. But what really shocked me was when I said, okay, let's organize lunch.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, I have to chat with Datin.
What?
And he's like,
this one deserves a TTS. You know what a TTS
is? Your wife's name is, but never mind. So, yes.
We used to be so and so and this and that. Now you're like, what?
Yeah, he calls his wife Datin.
My Penang friends will say, this one deserves a TTS. You know what a TTS?
No, what is a TTS?
It's not two tight slaps, it's three tight slaps.
Yeah, I was a bit shocked by it, but maybe.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I want to just have a look at the younger generation. Because I think, do you think they are also caught up in this kind of...
No, I don't think so.
In this wealth trap?
They're less caught up. I think they're less caught up.
Right. If you look at their agenda or their interests or what they focus on, right? It's more like, oh, you know, let's keep things simple. Think about the environment. Yeah. Issues like that mean very much to them. It's not necessarily just accumulation of wealth, right? Or getting rich or getting like that investment banker job that, you know, that was what was told to you to be the most important thing when you were growing up, you know, in the 90s or in the 80s.
But it comes with its own set of issues, right? Now they don't want to buy a car, don't want to buy a property. They might not even want to stick in a 9 to 5 job. They might want to just work from home and do gigs, which is not right or wrong. It's just the way it is. So if you're a parent that wants them to have some kind of stability, they're thinking, you know, you should go to buy a property, and they say, no, I don't want to buy a property. They don't even want to get a driving license. What for? I just take Uber, which is all right, fine. It's all right. Do you know how much it takes to buy to have a driving license now? To get a driving license is like 2,000 ringgit, you know.
Huh?
Yeah. True story.
Did you? Why do you know this, Chuang?
So my Penang wife says, actually, no need to get driving license lah.
Just get a motorbike license.
Just take MRT everywhere lah, you know. It's cheaper. Parents don't need to pay.
But the problem about that is you might have to drive your kids everywhere. But at the same time, young people also, I think they have other challenges. And this is driven by social media, right? Because on social media, whether it's Instagram or Facebook, instantly everybody knows what you're up to. And there's a bit of this social envy, I call it. So they also have their own form of wealth displays. Maybe not so physical as in like, hey guys, check out my new Porsche, check out my new Lamborghini.
Or where I've been for like summer and then where you've been, what you're eating, and then there's where it comes out, right? This is compulsion to share today. I'm the opposite, right?
But yeah, you and I are the opposite. We're social media shy.
But you have to share nowadays. If you don't share, there's something wrong with you. And that's where it comes out. Because you can't be seen with in a crappy restaurant having like some, you know, really bad pasam bol, right? You can't. It's just not the done thing.
But it's the best.
I know, but...
Pasam bol, char kway teow, chendol, all the best.
Yeah.
They are actually the only pictures of food, I think.
Yeah. But you can't be seen getting into your 23-year-old Toyota Corolla with like a bumper hanging off, right? You can't. It's just not the done thing.
Why not? It's cool. I guess the point is there's no right or wrong, right?
There's no right or wrong. I think we should just ask them next time because they're sitting next to us. We just talk to them.
The millennials.
Yeah. Anyway. Talk about them in the third party like they don't exist. They're just next to us.
Well, I mean, it's different strokes for different folks, right? But it's true. I think in Asia, probably if you were born in the 80s or the 70s, wealth accumulation was very much
the thing.
It was the thing. Your parents told you get a job, make sure it makes money.
Yeah, now the more things you have, you know, this Matt Davella fella from the YouTube, right? It's like he's got 32 things in his life. That's it.
Anyway, let us know what you think. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we have the news bulletin, and to take us there is Dream On. Yeah, you need to dream to get that money. Dream On by Aerosmith, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Shaoning with Kusu Chuang, and this is The Morning Run. And that was Nobody by Mitski. It's a kind of cute song.
Nobody by Mitski.
Anyway, at this time of the morning, we're going to be looking at what's happening around the world. And guess what? Who, unfortunately, has contracted COVID-19? The one and only President Jair Bolsonaro, sorry, I never get around these names, of Brazil. He has been tested positive for coronavirus.
Yeah, I think Spanish people would call him Jair, but some people in Asia might call him just Hair. He's notoriously cavalier about the pandemic. He said that it's not required, it's just a little flu. He's been against lockdowns, and guess what? Brazil has just gone bada-bam, number two behind the US in the world for most cases of the virus. And Brazil is a big country, what, 220 million people or something? You're bound to get it, man. Do you know what I mean? Because it's so dense. I mean, Rio de Janeiro is so dense.
But the point about him was that he actually even encouraged rallies for people to get together during this COVID-19 crisis, right? And try to play down the whole thing, because his focus was like, it's like you say, no big deal. Let's get the economy going. You know, you guys won't catch it. And if you did, it's okay. You just go home and rest.
Not very knowledgeable, quite ignorant about the virus. Like some countries, I heard one health minister in one country actually recommended drinking warm water to get rid of the virus. I heard about that.
Okay.
Interesting, right?
Well, he's not the first world leader to have gotten it right. I think the first real world leader was one and only Boris Johnson, who also had that same attitude.
He of tousled hair and bumbling attitude. Yeah,
who actually is a very clever man.
Yeah,
like, I'm sure that's just a political act. Yeah. But he too had it, and he had it very badly, right? He had to be, I think, almost put on a ventilator, taken to hospital.
Yeah. Ventilators usually is like spells trouble already, you know?
Yeah, where he had to then thank his two nurses who didn't come from England.
Yeah.
The man who pursued the Brexit agenda.
The irony. This weekend, Bolsonaro was photographed on Twitter in the American ambassador's residence, right? With the ambassador, Todd Chapman, right? All of them, seven of them around the table, no masks, right?
Okay.
And now he was photographed and basically declared that he's on hydroxychloroquine to treat the virus. You know, sometimes, you know, justice comes in sweet ways.
Well, we do hope he gets better.
I do hope he gets better.
I'm just curious. Nobody should actually have to kind of get COVID-19. And he unfortunately falls into the vulnerable group too, because he's above 65.
He's no spring chicken, lah.
No.
He's not going to break any land speed records for walking.
No. And you know what? Unlike most of Brazil, he's going to have access to the best medical care already.
Yeah.
Compared to the average guy who stays, let's say, in the favelas.
He doesn't stay,
where there's no access to any water, sanitation, and I'm sure healthcare in those areas aren't the best. But we should run a little poll who we think might get it next with regards to, like, you know, COVID-19.
Don't. You're going to get in trouble.
I'm going to get in trouble. Yeah. But meanwhile, look at President Donald Trump. He has decided to withdraw from the U.S. from the World Health Organization because he notified the U.N. and Congress of his intentions, although that process could take at least a year. Now, the spokesperson for the U.N. Secretary General confirmed the U.S. had notified of its withdrawal effective as of 6 July 2021.
Yeah, this is of course related to the relationship that the WHO has with China. The WHO was roundly criticized for underestimating and praising, in fact, China's treatment of the virus in the early days of the pandemic, right about like February, March time, saying that China was doing a good job, and then, you know, obviously it didn't do a good job, and they did conceal a lot of the numbers. Till today, people think that China is concealing those numbers. And of course, the US is like, anyone who's a friend of China is not a friend of America. It's as simple as that.
But is this the right approach at this current time?
It's not, lah.
Because we are facing this pandemic and we don't...
We should be doing it together.
Yeah, we don't have a vaccine. we still don't know a lot about this virus that seems to be mutating. And there needs to be actually international cooperation more than anything else.
Yeah, but of course, on a related matter, a lot of the health administration officials in Trump's government, they have come from Big Pharma. Some of the guys come from Eli Lilly, McKesson, obviously, Gilead as well. And he's given, I think, over $10 billion in taxpayer funds to Big Pharma with no strings attached. So that's what governments do, right? That's what politicians do. They tend to do what politicians do.
But the issue here is who's going to fill up the gap of funding that the U.S. when the U.S. leaves, right? Because,
it's over $400 million to the WHO. It's 15% of the WHO's budget.
And not only that, I mean, there are countries, developing countries, that do need the WHO help.
Probably China will step in and say, okay, well, you know, we'll just fund your budget, what America left behind, and then you just be nice to me. Don't call me names in public.
Well, I think actually some of the billionaires of the world have kind of stepped up, including Bill Gates.
Yeah, so he's the other one, right? His foundation is a big donor and he sits at the top table, right? And he's been so front and center of this whole virus. And he's calling for a vaccine. He's a pro, massively pro-vaccine guy.
Yeah, but at least he put his money where his mouth is.
Yeah, but you know, guess what? Guess what else the foundation invests in? Vaccine makers, right? So everybody's compromised now, if you want to look at it that way.
Nobody's hands are ever totally clean, right? And anyway, let us know what you think about any of these stories or anything we've discussed this morning. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we'll be taking a look at the front pages of our daily newspapers and online portals. We'll be back after these messages. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, I'm Wang Xiaoning with Kusu Chuang, and this is The Morning Run. That was Still Sound by Toro y Moi. And we're going to be taking a look at the newspapers this morning. And in front of me is the Malaysian Reserve, which Chuang has already circled and completely defaced it. But of course, the headline is Bank Negara Malaysia cuts OPR, which is the overnight policy rate, to record 1.75%. Interest rates have never been lower in Malaysia.
Yeah, and there's a chance that it might drop again. There's two more meetings, I think, by before the end of this year. So Bank Negara has a couple more chances to do that. We've got lots of room. I mean, America has been at zero for a long time. Japan has been at zero since the Jurassic era. they have, right?
Quite a while, yeah.
Their stagflation days since the late 80s when they bought the Rockefeller Center and everything in New York. And then they just went bottom up from there.
I mean, it's not only the fact that other central banks around the world have ultra-low rates. It's also the fact that we are facing a very, very, if any, deflation. I mean, inflation, sorry. There's actually an era of deflation at this current moment, right? I think last month's data was something like -2 because transportation...
Yeah, deflation is defined as when prices don't rise. In fact, they go down.
Exactly. So that means that actually that gives Bank Negara some wiggle room in terms of being able to cut the interest rates. But on the flip side, this message it sends out is that, the economy might not be that great.
Yeah. So I've heard that properties bought in Bukit Jalil from 4 years ago actually have gone nowhere. They've actually decreased by some 2 or 3%, 5%. So it's either the best time to buy now or... you just sit pat and wait on your... preserve your capital.
It's been a while since we've had any property which has got like negative equity, right? Most of the time for Malaysia, property moves in line with inflation. But because, like you say, there's no more inflation, then surprise, property prices are coming down a bit.
Yeah. People think that property has this like, you know, it defies gravity, like a bit like US tech stocks. But it's not the case. Like in Dubai, the bottom fell out of the Dubai market in 2008. Good news for everybody in Malaysia because we will all be counted again. I think once every 10 years, the population and housing census comes around and says, do you exist? If you do, then... you're part of the Malaysian population. So that's happening soon, I think. Don't know exactly when, though. The first phase online until September 30th, and then the second phase involving face-to-face interviews from October 7th to October 24th. Why do we need face-to-face interviews? Don't know why. But
I think those are a bit more qualitative in nature.
Okay. So are you really what you say you are?
But I think the important thing is what does the government do with this data, right? Does it use it to formulate policies? Because there's no point having a wealth of this data and not being used properly.
God, I'm sure they do something productive with it. Just that they don't show that they do a lot with it traditionally, but
Well, it'll be interesting to find out where, you know, what they do with it.
The Prime Minister says that the census is crucial for policy making. Wow. Okay, well, first you have to get yourself in Parliament and be endorsed, and then it all happens from there, right?
Well, in the Financial Times, because, you know, I'm that kind of girl, the UK...
Which, really, yeah.
Yeah, for what? You know.
From the Straits Times to
the Financial Times.
Times.
And they've got an interesting headline, and the headline is, Italian Mafia Bonds Sold to Global Investors.
Italian Mafia Bonds?
Yes.
Well, you can lend money to everybody and everything.
Yeah, instruments were backed by front companies charged with working for organized crime group.
Isn't Italy one of those countries with negative interest rates as well? So you've got to pay them to get rid of, to hold your money for you?
Yes, and for the last 25 years, their average GDP has been 0.6%. So they've faced real structural issues for the last 20 years, which I don't know how they're going to resolve. And they were also, of course, very, very badly hit by COVID-19.
Yeah, so on the premise that bookmaking, gambling, and all other underworld activities are as safe as it gets.
Imagine.
Then your money will be safe and you get your return.
Yeah, so, you know, crime being legitimized with a financial product. This is the new world order, isn't it?
Interesting.
Meanwhile, the Straits Times in Singapore, their headline is about the vaccine race, and it says that at wartime speed, China leads COVID-19 vaccine race.
Wow.
And that they are already in the third final stage of testing later this month.
Good news. Page 3 of the Star, with a story for that relates to Felda settlers. Eligible applicants under the Felda New Generation Housing Scheme, you can get financing of up to 110% for your property from Agribank. So with a maximum value of the house of 300,000 ringgit. So even though you don't qualify traditionally from a normal bank, you can still borrow money from Agribank and buy your property. Which makes me recall what happened in the financial crisis in 2008 when ineligible borrowers got money from banks to go and buy properties, which is why it was called a subprime housing crisis. You are less than prime, so you're subprime, but you still get money to buy a house. So it's great news. Everything's awesome.
But where does it lead to? Because remember, the subprime crisis didn't end.
It ended in tears. Tears. Double. Yeah.
But meanwhile, staying in the Singapore Straits Times, right, they have a story which actually is covered by all the papers, and it's about foreign students in the US will not get visas if courses shift to only online.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we know in US, foreign students are a huge part of the education system, right? They contribute, I think, as much as US $55 billion. And I mean, it's not just talking about the fees. It's about when they go there, what they spend on accommodation, living expenses. You know, they are a contributor to the economy. So now if you're saying that the courses are going online, sorry, you cannot come. You know, you have to stay back home, do your coursework via the computer.
I wonder whether those colleges will still make parents pay the huge astronomical fees that they will ask only for, right?
Well, we'll find out. That's all from the papers this morning. Coming up next is a 7 a.m. news bulletin, followed by more business news and analysis. But first, here's Hold On Tight by Electric Light Orchestra, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.